Penguin Random House Audio presents They Called Me a Lioness, A Palestinian Girl's Fight for Freedom by Ahed Tamimi and Dina Takruri. This is the author, Dina Takruri. To my grandmother Farha, without whom this story would not exist, and to those who are yet to be born. Introduction. I sit shivering in the tiny freezing cell of an Israeli interrogation center, my wrists and ankles sore from the tightly clasped shackles digging into them. I inhale deeply, trying to suppress the flow of tears streaming down my cheeks, now that I finally have a moment to myself, away from the taunts and jeers of the soldiers who've been harassing me for hours. Here, I allow myself to momentarily let down my guard. I'm all alone in this cell, but I feel no privacy. I spot cameras above me on two opposite corners of the ceiling, pointed right at me. One seems to capture the cell's bathroom, which has a partially exposed ceiling. I've been dying to empty my bladder for hours, but with the risk of being filmed, I have refused to go. For a second, I ask myself how I ended up here. How did it come to this? But I know better than to agonize over this question. This moment was inevitable, something I expected my whole life. Getting arrested by the Israeli army was always a matter of when, not if. Days earlier, I slapped a fully armed Israeli soldier in the face in front of my house, a slap that reverberated around the world. It wasn't the first time I hit one of them, nor was it the first time it was captured on film, but it was certainly the most noticed. In a state that controls every aspect of my life, I have become the object of widespread enmity. Some even want me dead for daring to insult the central symbol of their occupation. But what I did was a natural reaction to seeing belligerent foreign occupiers on my family's land, an immoral army that had just nearly killed my cousin and was now shooting at children from the entrance of my home. And now I must pay for what I did. Still, I ask myself, why now? I'm only 16 years old and in my senior year of high school. I should be taking my English final exam today, and I worry how much I'll fall behind by missing it. How long will I be forced to be away from school? I've worked so hard to get to this point, and my entire future rides on the test scores I pull off at the end of the year. I'm supposed to be studying right now, not sitting here under arrest. I'm supposed to graduate in a few months, not be locked up in prison. This thought makes me cry even more. I close my eyes to try to plug the tears now pouring, but also because I can no longer bear the sight of the feces-stained walls surrounding me in this repulsive cell. Instead, my mind flashes back to the inflection points that brought me to this moment. The memories I'll never be able to shake, no matter how hard I try, now revisit me in an ambush. There I am, a 5-year-old, sobbing in the middle of the night because Israeli soldiers have once again barged into our house to arrest my father. I see my mother falling on the concrete road after being shot by a soldier in a jeep. My younger brother pinned to the ground by another soldier who is squeezing his little neck in a chokehold. My favorite uncle bleeding to death on the rocks behind our home. This was the price my village paid for the unarmed resistance movement we dared to wage against our occupiers, the violent punishment we incurred for holding weekly protests to defend our rights and our land. I see the water cannons, the tear gas, the rubber-coated steel bullets, and the live rounds I grew up constantly having to dodge, sometimes more successfully than others. I replay all the visits to the hospital and the funeral processions we marched in when the army killed one of our own. I hear the wailing sobs of our mothers and aunts in anguish, and the defiant chants of our grieving loved ones demanding justice. I think about all the stories I've heard from my relatives, young and old, who were held captive in Israeli prisons. There are far too many of them for me to even attempt to count. Being arrested by Israel's army has always been a fact of life for us, practically a rite of passage that's impossible to avoid. And now, my turn has come. Chapter 1. Childhood. I grew up in a tiny village in the West Bank called Nebi Saleh. It's a 25-minute drive northwest of Ramallah, the vibrant, booming city that's a cultural and commercial hub for Palestinians. Nabi Saleh, by contrast, is small and simple. We have a school, a mosque, a little market, and a gas station. Most important, we have each other. The 600 residents of my village are all related by blood or marriage, part of the extended Tamimi family. My classmates and friends were also my cousins. It's a tight-knit community where everyone looks out for one another, and it's been that way for hundreds of years. At first glance, Nabi Saleh appears to be a peaceful place. It's a quiet, idyllic village home to endless hills dotted with olive trees, between which wild horses and donkeys often roam. Unobstructed sunsets cast magical hues of red, purple, and gold in the sky. Children play outside freely, running from house to house, usually finding a welcoming adult to fill their bellies with a home-cooked meal. But first impressions don't tell the whole story. To get that, you'd have to look across the main road of our village to the hill on the other side of the valley. There sits the Jewish-Israeli settlement of Halamish, a gated community with neatly arranged red tile-roofed homes, manicured lawns, playgrounds, and a swimming pool. But Halamish wasn't always there. It was illegally established on our village's land in 1977. It's one of hundreds of Israeli settlements built on Palestinian land in violation of international law. These settlements are essentially Jewish-Israeli colonies, and they continue to multiply at the expense of the indigenous Palestinian population. Over the years, we've watched the creeping expansion of Halamish, its settlers confiscating more of our land and resources with the full approval of the State of Israel. Not just approval, but facilitation too. Israel installed a military base right next to the settlement to protect its residents and to make our lives in the village a living hell. But Nabi Saleh is just a microcosm of Palestine. For the past century, the Palestinian people have been fighting Zionist efforts to take more and more of our land. Zionism is a nationalist movement that began among some European Jews in the late 19th century. Its founders believed that the answer to mounting anti-Semitism in Europe was for Jews to settle in Palestine, which was still a territory of the Ottoman Empire at the time, populated by Arabs who were majority Muslim with Christian and Jewish minorities too. Only a handful of Jews took up the call then, but during World War I, the Zionist movement secured significant help from the British Empire. In 1917, the British issued the Balfour Declaration, which pledged to establish a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. By the time World War I was over, the British had taken control of Palestine from the Ottomans. Under their colonial rule in the years that followed, a period known as the British Mandate, they made good on their 1917 promise by facilitating the immigration of thousands more European Jews to Palestine. In doing so, the British gave away land that wasn't theirs, with no regard for the indigenous majority population living there, the Palestinians. They'd eventually come to pay a price for the mess they created. From 1936 to 1939, Palestinians waged a massive nationwide uprising against the British and their pro-Zionist policies. It was called the Arab Revolt, and while the British managed to violently suppress it, their troubles didn't end there. Beginning in 1944, several armed Zionist groups comprised of European Jewish settlers launched violent attacks against the British, who by then were trying to limit Jewish immigration to Palestine. The Zionists wanted the British gone and made it increasingly dangerous and costly for them to stay. By 1947, the British decided they had had enough and handed over the problem of Palestine to the United Nations. Meanwhile, the Holocaust, during which up to 6 million Jews were savagely murdered by Nazi forces in World War II, devastated European Jewry, but also changed Palestine forever. The Holocaust resulted in hundreds of thousands of survivors, traumatized and imperiled, fleeing Europe, tens of thousands of them, to Palestine. Ashamed by their failure to protect Europe's Jews from Hitler's camps, and ever reluctant for domestic political reasons to allow large-scale immigration of the survivors, much of the international community recognized the Zionist demand for a state of their own in Palestine. In 1947, the United Nations approved a plan to partition Palestine into a Jewish state and a Palestinian Arab state, with Jerusalem remaining under international control. The partition plan gave 55% of the land of historic Palestine to the Jewish state, and only
Sample complete. Ready to continue?